Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 5th, 2017. Pastor Paul Tolberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Some of you, not all of you, got one of these. And as you received it from Matt, you said, well, that's nice. And he told you it was Latin, German, whatever. It's some kind of document. And if you look at it and you find out you can't read it, thank you so much, Matt. Oh, this is a gift from Pastor. Thank you so much, Pastor. A lot of good this is going to do me. Yeah. Welcome to the world in which Martin Luther lived. The things that were really, really important, most of the common people couldn't read because they're not in their language. But we're not going to talk about so much about how God used Luther to change the how we teach children and to change how governments run each other and how people are important. We're not going to use this because Luther was not primarily about rebelling and social change, although that's the thing today, but that's not what he was about. Luther had a problem, the same problem that you and I have. When you and I are at home alone and we're drifting off to sleep and we just can't get to sleep because, you know, that one little thing keeps bothering you. And if I die tonight, am I good enough to get into God's heaven? I mean, really. How do I get right with God? That was the question. We find the answer to that question in our sermon text. Sermon text is taken from Jeremiah. Jeremiah, and he wrote these words because he was the last man on deck, the last prophet before the temple was going to be destroyed and God's people were going to be carried off into captivity. And God did not want his believers to be crushed or fall into despair. He wanted to encourage them. Well, how can you encourage them when all around them the effects of sin and the consequences are just playing out? This is what God said. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my flock. You have driven them away. You have not taken care of them. But I will certainly take care of you because of the evil things you have done, declares the Lord. I will gather what is left of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pastures. They will be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them. They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Listen, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, who will reign wisely as king and establish justice and righteousness on earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. This is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Well, we like that part, don't we? We don't like the part of the sheep wandering off or the bad shepherds not taking care of the sheep. We like the fact that the Lord stepped into history and he calls himself the Lord our righteousness. But I'm thinking that sometimes even us who hear God's word regularly, who go into God's word regularly, I think we might have a tendency to miss that because the question is, the bottom line is, when you are on your deathbed, the question is, am I right with God? How do I get right with God? The Bible clearly says, you don't get right with God by doing good things. In fact, Luther, for 3 decades of his life, struggled with this question because he thought, man, I got to do something, God, but everything I do comes up short. God says, be holy. I'm not. Maybe I'll be a monk. I'll be a monk. Then God will let me, and I'll have some peace of mind. And he was not given peace. He was trying hard to be a good little monk. So he was starving himself, you know, sleeping outside without a coat on in the cold winter, trying very hard to hurt himself, to somehow pay off his debt so that God would be okay with him. How do I get right with God? God does not say, try your best to be holy. God says, be holy. Oh, man. No wonder Luther got depressed. No wonder Luther looked at this part of God's word and he threw up his hands. Do you know what? Luther tells us that he hated the God that he had come to know. Can you imagine that? He's teaching as a professor in a university, teaching the book of Romans, and the more he finds out about this holy God, the more he hates him. Why is that? Because he can't make him happy. How do I get right with God? I can't do things right. What I want to do, I don't do. The best stuff I don't want to do, I keep on doing that. Just like you saw played out for you today in that little not quite ready for primetime meters theater. You know, I'm gonna make sure I don't sin today. I'm gonna make sure, and then boom, sin again. It's the same sin over and over. What can I do? What can I possibly do? How do I get right with God? Big question of life. Well, what happened is the Lord led Luther through his study of the Word to slow down and actually read what God says, instead of what people were telling him. And what he finds is what's called the gospel. And when you hear the gospel, it leaves you stunned. Because it is an otherworldly way of thinking. It is God's way, his world. The gospel says, quite bluntly, God stepped into history and he did for you and for me what we could not do, what we didn't want to do, what we rebelled at doing, God did in our place for us. That's the gospel. Well, that flatly rejects the biggest assumption of this world. The world says, oh, God loves everybody because God loves all people, especially the good ones. God says, no, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. So you and I, us churched people, we hear those words and we say, oh, yeah. But then God flatly rejects the lie that we are tempted to believe. What's that one? That God loves us because, well, we're just a smidgen better. We got our life in order anyway, you know. We know how to get dressed in the morning. We know how to take care of our next-door neighbor. And we're in church on Sundays, well, most Sundays, you know, don't get on my case, Pastor. And I do open my Bible sometimes, a lot more now than I used to. And so we kind of say, well, yeah, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but some have fallen farther. That's what we think. And as we rewrite that word of God, God says, don't make me a liar. My word stands. All have sinned. Sitting in the pew, you've sinned. Sitting outside, you sinned. Sitting drunk in a bar or in a jail or in a prison, you have all sinned. Every one of you has fallen short of my glory. And the gospel says, God loved us anyway. We didn't deserve it. We sure don't work for it. We're not living up to the standards that he wants, and God loved us anyway. So what did God do? God stepped into history, wrapped himself in swaddling clothes. He was placed in a manger, and he went through life doing everything right. He was obeying his parents right from the start. You didn't have a terrible twos with Jesus when he was growing up. He was perfect. He was tempted in every way like you and I, but he never sinned, the scriptures say. He went through through high school and college, never going and saying, "Mom and Dad, you are just so old-fashioned. You are just so far gone out of your..." He didn't do that. He kept the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. And even though Joseph was his stepdad, he gave him the same honor that he gave to his real father in heaven. So what happened? Well, he lived that perfect life for us. He kept on preaching and teaching God's word. And then at the end of that 3-year period of public teaching, he went to a cross. And his father said, his father in heaven said, "Someone has to pay. All have sinned. All fall short. Except you, my son. You're the only one in whom I am well pleased." And the son said, "Let me take it." And he went to a cross, and he was nailed on the cross for our sins, for our neglect, for our potty mouths, for our dirty, trashy thoughts. He was nailed to a cross because we're lazy and we're greedy. He was nailed to a cross because we are impatient and unkind. Jesus was nailed to a cross, and he paid that debt. And then he said, on Easter morning, "Your sins are forgiven." You tell anyone their sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. His words are, "Peace be with you." God's peace, the war between God and man, I finished that. And guess what? I won over sin, death, and the devil, and I give you the victory. So how do I get right with God? Is I just take God at his word. God says he did that. Okay, I will do that, Lord. I will trust you in this. In Luther's day, he stood as one person against unbelievable power. We have a hard time understanding that the emperor controlled all of Europe. He had armies standing at his beck and call. The Roman Pope controlled the keys to heaven. If you crossed him, you didn't get into heaven, is what he said. And all Luther had was God's word. So when they said, "You take back everything you've said," Luther said, "Well, I'm a human being. I can make mistakes, but you show me on God's word, on the basis of God's word, where it's wrong, and that's when I'll take it back. Otherwise, I will not take back a word." Then he said, "Here I stand. God, help me." With a monk using his mallet, putting up 95 theses that most of the people couldn't read when they were posted in Latin, God decided to rescue his people again and restore this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ and sins forgiven. How do I get right with God? How did Luther get right with God? He remembered what God said, that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So there's no doubt. Now, Satan's going to try and rip you away from that, which is how come God gathers us together week after week to be reminded with his word, to be fed with his word, strengthened with his word and sacraments. "I am with you to the very end. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." We're standing where Luther did, on God's word. And that's how we find the answer to the question, how can I get right with God? I can't. But God did. Jesus did everything right, and then he gave it to me. And that's how come the end of our text is how we began. "Listen, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." I was baptized into this name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I was baptized into the name of the living, righteous God. We began our service in the name of the living, righteous, holy God. And before this day is ended, God willing, you'll have the Lord's name placed on you, the name of the true and only God who wants you in heaven so much that he gives you his righteousness so you can be there with us, with him forever and ever. In his name, so let us live. Amen.